This week on Tower Dive.
Here are your 2016 North American Power Bottoms.
Nice. What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Tower Dive. I, of course, am your host, Captain Hooks. And with me, as always, is the fantasy stud himself, Pan the Man.
Ooh, I like being a stud. That's a good one this week.
You're a fantasy stud.
Yeah.
So it's not like a real stud.
It's close enough. It's probably the closest to stud status that I will ever be.
that I will ever maintain.
You can only reach so high in life. Just be happy with your station. I think
That's solo cue advice. Be happy with where you are because you'll never get better.
Oh man, this kind of puts a wet blanket over things, this week's episode. We're just kidding, guys.
We're just fucking with y'all.
Shoot for the stars. Yada yada yada.
Yeah. So in you know, like the shooting star, you know, super motivational quote. Dash Tower Dive. Yeah. That's what the poster is.
Yeah, that's good.
Shoot for the stars and you'll reach the moon because things happen
and the moon's
good.
A lot closer to the stars and that's probably a more realistic goal.
And it's more realistic. If you shoot for the stars, yeah, I don't know. There's some
that's good. I like that one.
Yeah, whatever.
We had it.
Yeah, we got one. There it is. Print it. Mark it down. So, so after our last episode, a lot of people were asking if we were going to do an NA preview, and we always were going to, but I wanted to be like, I don't know, only if you guys really want it. We were, it just wasn't available when we did the last show, that's why we didn't do it.
Yeah, we could have come up with our own opinions.
Because it's not like we agree with other people anyway.
No, we just like to let other people make content, and then we like to pick it apart.
Like, we like to point out why it's bad.
Real shitty vultures.
Yeah, we're no shitty vultures. We're fucking awesome vultures.
Oh, awesome.
Or vultures. Awesome shit vultures.
Like the great Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Yeah. He was a shitty vulture?
Well, they were scavengers.
I guess, because they had those tiny little arms.
Yeah.
And big heads.
That's why they couldn't hunt very well. People saw them coming because they're big-ass heads.
Look at this fucking asshole with his huge head and his little stupid arms. That's why the Tyrannosauruses are always shown as being so angry, because they were being bullied by other dinosaurs.
Yeah. Only it's two like, fingers, one thumb. Fucking...
Can't grab anything.
Can't brush his teeth.
Can't brush his teeth. Yeah, fucking can't. What if he got something stuck in his teeth?
That's another reason to be so angry.
Yeah, it's just frustrating. It's a frustrating life.
It's hard life.
The hard life of a Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Really,
what the fuck are we
very,
talking about?
It's a very apt metaphor for the
I like
dive
it.
Crew.
I was in it. Listen, our metaphors are spot on.
On point.
Except for those times when they sort of derail and they go nowhere.
Yeah, the kids might even say that they're on fleek.
I don't even know what that means.
I think it's a good thing.
I don't know. Nothing kids say today is a good thing.
Okay, Grandpa Hooks.
Seriously. Like, take the grandpa out of it.
Uh-huh.
Nothing teenagers can say today is good.
Okay, Grandpa Hooks.
Unless it's Tower Dive's awesome. In which case, you're fucking A, right? You're
totally right.
Yeah. Fact. Your parents are raised you well, son. That's what I'm talking about. So, with absolutely zero gilding the lily and almost no ado... we do have our North American, what are we going to call
top
it? I guess like our power rankings, I guess. Is that what this is?
I think we're going
power
to.
Power rankings?
Because there already are power rankings. I think we're going to, it's going to be more like a ranking rebuttal.
Like the Tower Dive preseason re-ranking.
Do you want to get... You want to get gross with it? We can give it a real gross
title. No, I don't want to. I don't want to get gross with it. We've gotten gross many times.
I came up with a real gross headline, but we'll skip it.
I prefer you didn't.
We'll skip it.
It's family show. I mean, it's a dysfunctional family, but family nonetheless.
It's the kind of family that doesn't use silverware. They only have plastic forks.
Dad drinks a little too much. Mom goes to the male nudie review with her friends.
They use Chinette instead of actual dishes.
The older daughter drinks the family's alcohol and refills it with water, even if it was rum and it wasn't white. It wasn't clear, I mean. You know. And the son just masturbates frequently because he's got really, really bad social skills. It's a fucked up family, man. This is fucking...
I think we might be a step above that one.
Yeah, we're right above that family, yeah. but family nonetheless. if that's what your family is like, then I respect you.
Yeah,
I feel bad for you, but I respect you nonetheless.
Go to college.
Please better yourself. Then brush your teeth.
Brush your damn teeth.
Brush your damn teeth. Yeah. God.
Okay. So
what we'll do is we'll run down a quick rundown of what the rankings on Goal per 10.
Yes.
Were, yeah. And then we will give our own as we sort of ask what the fuck is wrong with these people.
Yeah.
Which clearly we've now prefaced what our feelings on the top 10 ranking that they did is.
Overall, we disagree.
As a whole, I'm not going to lie, I think there may be two or three spots that I agree with. That's about it.
Yeah.
So how do you want to do this? You want to do, we just go down it and then we kind of give our opinion of it, or we give our opinion of each team? I don't know how you want to do this.
Let's read the list real quick. Okay. And then we'll go about discussing it.
I like it. Yeah. I like it. I like where your head's at.
Uh-huh.
So your top 10 North American preseason power rankings are?
As per Goal per 10.
As per Goal per 10.
Yeah.
The opinions expressed in this show by Gold per 10 are not the same of Tower Dive. So, TSM, number 1. Number 2, Cloud 9. Number 3, Energy. Number 4, Immortals. I feel like I have to say their name with an English accent.
Really? I think you gotta be like Spartan with it.
You're an immortal. You're a wizard, Harry. Number 5, CLG. Jesus Christ. Number 6, Team Liquid. Number 7, Renegades. Number 8, Echo Fox. Fox.
I get it. I see what you did there.
You're right? It was a dad joke. Nice. Number 9, Dignitas. And number 10, Team Impulse.
Uh-huh. And which one of these, you said you agreed with some of them, which one do you agree
right
with?
Off the bat, Impulse being 10th, I 100% okay. agree with.
Yeah.
A team built around Fang, Proxen / BB, Pyrene, Don't Mash Me, and Gate does not sound like a championship team to me.
That sounds like...
Mostly because I don't know a lot of those players, and that's maybe... that. Listen, I am not claiming to be this, you know, finger on the pulse of the League of Legends scene, but, I mean... One of them was a Japanese player.
Oh, wow.
They don't even have a server.
They're working on it.
I know.
Yeah, one day.
So this team, I do laugh at this one sentence in their, you know, kind of why they're there. Featuring 3 unknown players and 2 unfortunately known ones.
Oh, God. Aww. Is that really what they wrote?
Yeah.
That's not fair.
Almost no one has high hopes for this team.
That's not even fair for Mash.
Including probably their management, who couldn't sell them.
Why wouldn't they just forfeit or something?
You can't.
You can't?
I don't think so.
Surely you can forfeit.
I mean, I don't know.
I don't know.
Whatever. I got nothing.
Anyways,
I agree with them being 10th.
They'll get relegated, and then it'll be over.
I agree with them being 10th.
Yeah.
That's a pretty... straightforward, and then they will be replaced by TDK.
Yeah, and then I also kind of agree with Dignitas being 9th.
Don't disagree with Dignitas being 9th. I think that's a fair place for them. Yeah. I don't think their team is all that impressive. I mean, their only true carry is Shifter in the mid,
and he's not bad.
Apollo is good, but I think Apollo is usually only as good as his support. And with Kiwi Kid as a support, he's just not that good. Kiwi Kid's that guy. He's like the dingleberry that just won't like get off your butt when you're pooping.
It's
like,
weird that he's still playing.
He refuses to get flushed.
He's one of those players that shows up and then kind of does his job, and then he goes home.
Like, he's bad. He's not a good player. I mean, he's hilarious. And I mean, I'm sure if I hung out with Kiwi Kid, we'd be, you know, have a smashing time.
Yeah.
But like, as far as being a League of Legends professional goes, as far as the in the other support players in the League of Legends, I won't even say in the world, in like America and Europe, if you if there are 20 of them, which there are, there are 10 teams on each side, each have a support, so 20 supports. He's got to be like in the bottom five. At least. I mean, the only supports right now that are worse, I mean, I think Gate is because I don't even know how good he is as a support.
He's pretty unimpressive.
Not even a natural support. Excuse me. But yeah, so not a team that throws out any sort of hope that they're going to be any good. But yeah, so I agree they're 9 and 10.
Those are also, I mean, those are the obvious ones. Right. That's
Are those ones jump off the page as being bad. Also, the other one I agree with, honestly, is Cloud9 at number two.
Oh, really?
I had Cloud9 at number two.
I don't think Cloud9 gets number two.
Here's why. I'm just going to clear my throat. Excuse me. So here's why I have Cloud9 as number two. The only thing that they changed is adding a better jungler.
Maybe a worse support. If High, if they're gonna start with High, maybe
a worse support. But I don't know if High is a worse support than Lemonation. Lemonation was pretty bad.
He was kind of shit in the bed there at the end. You know,
Lemon. Yeah, Lemon was pretty bad at times. Like when you looked at their team, you're like, the worst player on their team was definitely Lemonation.
Yeah, sometimes it was balls, but it was
Balls. And I'm not saying because Lemonation's a bad player. I just think sometimes he would do bonehead things. For a really smart guy, he made stupid plays.
They looked good on
paper. I mean, we had a running joke is fucking Lemonation dying like a bitch. I mean, I can't tell you how many times we said that.
Because the plays looked good on paper. He would just
and he writes a lot on paper.
Couldn't do it. You know?
Yeah, it just would go poorly for him. I mean, he had some really nice plays over the course of the season. He did some good things. You know, made Veigar support a thing for like a week.
That's impressive to shift the meta like that.
Yeah, no, he's definitely not a bad player, but I think he just had a bad time.
I think he didn't practice a lot or he didn't have great mechanics.
Yeah, I think it's exposed his weaknesses, his deficiencies in the game.
Yeah.
Especially when the team's, you know, their identity kind of shifted when Meteos left and when High wasn't playing.
Yeah.
I think it definitely shifted, and because of that, I think it really exposed him a lot. But that being said, I think Jensen, a.k.a. Incarnation, showed a lot of improvement.
He did improve a lot.
At the end of the season, and I think they're going to kind of run with that. I think Sneaky, he has to make that next logical step from being, really good to being a true carry.
Yeah.
I think Sneaky's biggest problem is his whole career is that everyone's like, oh, Sneaky's fucking great. Sneaky's so good. Everything Sneaky does is good, except his numbers and the results don't reflect that. Like, you know, he'll have a great game, but he'll be like, you know, 4-1-2.
Yeah.
I think he has never had that big game, and I think he needs to really start to drive
usually when
that.
Sneaky's 4-1-2, the rest of his team is like 0-7-3.
Exactly. And that's what I'm saying, is I think he needs to sort of assume a double lift type role now.
Yeah, and he can. and he plays a ton.
Yeah, dude always plays.
Yeah,
I respect that.
So good
for him. And I really think that the addition of Rush in jungle is going to take, one, a lot of pressure off of balls.
Yeah.
And it's going to open up a lot more opportunities for both Jensen and Balls, because I feel like Rush does a lot of damage in that jungle between top and mid lane. I feel like that's like his bread and butter spot.
Yeah, I don't think the synergy is going to be quite there yet. I think they do like fifth for the season.
No, I definitely, I see, I honestly,
playoffs, I think they do well in the playoffs, but I
see them as a two. I see them as a two seed. I almost lock them in at two seed.
I think they have a really rough start in the season, and then they kind of,
well, they couldn't have had any more of a rough start, and I think they're a better team than they were last season, even going into that gauntlet where they played well. I think they're going to ride that and with the additions that they've made, and whether or not High maintains or they swap to Bunny Fufu at some point, I think that they'll find it early and they will have a lot of success. Personally agreed with that.
Rough start for C9 for me.
I think there's too many other teams that are going to have rough starts that C9 will be able to take advantage of.
That's true. I think, I mean, there are going to be a lot of sloppy games.
I think, yeah, I think when you look at the other, the thing I get and respect and to a level to agree with what you're saying, but I look at so many other teams that look so much sloppier, need to do so many more things to get all on the same page. I feel like C9 is going to kind of sneak a few wins that they would have normally not gotten because of that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, since we've already kind of started.
That's where C9 really shines, you know, when the game's real dirty.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Listen, what they do isn't pretty, you know, I mean. They're not artists, you know, they're lumberjacks when they play, you know, it's not pretty. The hands get dirty, you know, they're fucking pushing trees over and hacking at shit. But, you know, if they come out and they win, it's like, hey, whatever.
They love the slop. Their mudda was a mudda.
Put the fucking helmet on, strap it, and, you know, grab your M16, fucking dive in that pig shit mud.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, since we've kind of already started, you know, who's your top spot? Who... You know, gold per 10 has TSM. I don't agree with that number.
TSM probably still takes first.
You think TSM takes first? I don't think this split they do.
For the split, I don't know if they take first after the playoffs. But I think for the split, they probably do. Just because the sheer amount of talent on their team,
I guess, is difficult. The problem with having a wildly talented team is the propensity for failure and then for egos makes it really bad.
But they're...
And apparently Bjergsen is injured?
Oh, when did this happen?
I don't know. This was news to me, but apparently he's been having wrist problems.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe TSM chokes and then they end up last. Maybe.
They're not going to end up last. No, they're way too good to being...
They have a strong chance of ending up first, though. I mean, they're...
Hey, listen, if any team on paper should be first place, it's them.
Yeah, so they had a very clear weakness last season in shot calling, and they fixed that. Right?
Well, they essentially fixed it. They brought in a world-class shot caller.
And Bjergsen, I think, was just looking for someone that he respected to call shots for.
Well, you say he has to listen to him.
Yeah, but, I mean, who was calling shots, you know, last season? It was, you know, Bjergsen. He didn't want to do it. And if it wasn't Bjergsen, it was...
It was nobody. It was Bjergsen.
You know, maybe Lustboy tried, but you couldn't understand him.
Stop being Korean.
You know, now
they
have Yellowstar, who's been to, you know, almost every single Worlds. Every single Worlds.
He's been to Worlds every single year.
Yeah. You know, someone to kind of look up to. Yeah. And done really well.
Yeah. So here's the thing. He is the single most decorated person on this team. If you don't listen or respect him, then you're wrong. So that's how that works. You're the one that's wrong.
Right? It's not...
Double lift. If you don't listen to Yellowstar, guess what? You're wrong.
Yeah, you don't have to argue anymore.
If you don't listen to Yellowstar, you're wrong. Svenskeren, you're already wrong.
Keep being you. You do you, boo.
And Haunster, you have no business not listening to everybody else in your team. You have no voice. So shut up and farm.
I don't know. It just seems that team was built with a very clear plan in mind.
Yeah, they want to win.
So that's why I kind of agree with the first place.
I don't want to agree with it, I guess, because of my personal bias.
No. But
it's hard to make a case. It's hard to make a case for the other teams because the other teams that are in that boat are also dealing with the same exact issues.
Yeah. But with
continuity and
players,
cohesion,
you know,
because you could just as easily say, oh, well, but look at Energy's team, you know, with Impact, Gank by Mom and all Tech at their carry spots. They're all amazing. Yeah. Well, these guys have all never played with each other.
Yeah. Well, most of the people in TSM have never played with each other either.
But that's the point that I was making. I said the same argument you can make to say that Energy should be number one. The flip side of that coin is the exact same things that you would be saying about TSM. So it's there, you know, it's why I'm saying whatever.
It's also a real different format. I think Gank by Mom might have some trouble adjusting to coming into it like this.
I don't think
there's not enough prep, you know. You don't you lose one game and that's your loss for the week.
It's two games.
But still, it's not like a best of two. You lost.
No, I agree, but I don't think that's going to be. I don't think that's going to have any effect. So we'll say for the sake of argument, TSM is number one.
Sure.
Who's your number two? I already said that I agree. Cloud9 is my number two.
I don't know. I want to say Renegades, but it's a lot of. They've been in Korea for a really long time. They have Freeze. They have Alex Ish.
Who's been with the? Yeah, Freeze has been with them the whole time.
Yeah,
in Korea.
They have Romilia, who's amazing. I mean, their team, while not on paper, might not look the best.
Because a lot of people are like, oh, Crumbs and Alex Ish, they're not going to be that good.
I don't know why anyone would ever say that, though. Crumbs was always good. He was always shot calling.
Crumbs left a bad team.
Yeah. Alex Ish has always been good.
Yeah. No, I know.
Freeze has always been good.
And yeah, again, he was the best player on a terrible-ass team.
And I think it's a really good meshing of personalities, too. And I think they've also been playing longer together than any other team in the NALCS right now.
Yeah, at this point, I mean, shit, they've been together. Yeah, it's impressive.
I think Renegades goes on a tear.
I don't disagree with you. I like Renegades a lot. I think the biggest knock on them is Romilia, and it's not because she's not a good player. It's just because her talent, her champion pool was. Well, currently we don't know what it is. Yeah. So what we know is that she has a very shallow champion pool. So much so, well, no, it has because we haven't seen it yet. So currently the only information is that she has a shallow champion pool. So much so that if they didn't ban out Thresh, if other teams didn't ban out Thresh, they would first pick Thresh for her and give up power picks because of that.
That's got to be.
You can't do that in the LCS. You can't do that in the LCS. That is a recipe for failure. If you first pick Thresh because your support is comfortable on it, like she has to have worked on a lot of other supports. You know, she better come out with Trundle. She better come out with if Trundle's the new hot support.
Yeah, I don't buy that yet.
It's been used a
maybe
lot.
Maybe on a pro level, I'm sure.
That's what I'm saying. But she needs to bust out Trundle. She needs to bust out the the brands that's being used. Mm-hmm. You know, she needs to be able to in a pinch be able to play one of those supports that's available.
Yeah, you spend that long boot camping. I'm sure.
I hope to. I mean, I'm assuming she's going to come out. We're not claiming to be like to have this incredible insight into the game that nobody else knows. If we understand that she's got a shallow champion pool, I'm sure Renegades understands that that's an issue.
Right.
And that they probably set up right out and be like, okay, now you have Freeze, Romilia, Freeze. You need to get more champions. You need to carry.
Yeah.
And then just that's just sort of what, I feel like that was Monty's conversation.
On the dry erase board,
Yeah.
And then right when they were leaving their apartment to come back to America, they erased it.
Yeah.
Like, real dramatically. And they were playing, some really cool rap song or something.
I was going to say that they were, what is it? From Rocky IV.
That's too cliche. That's too on the nose.
No, they have to play it, doesn't it?
That's too on the nose.
Burning Heart.
Yeah.
With a burning heart. It's about to burst. That's the song that he was playing. Not Eye of the Tiger. Everyone was expecting Eye of the Tiger. No, I'm going
Burning
Heart or Hearts on Fire.
Yeah.
One of those heart songs.
Something with a heart in it.
Dun, hearts
what about,
on fire.
Yeah,
playing drums
from
to
the
it.
Transformers movie. You get the touch.
Oh no, that's too cliche. Bow, bow. No, you got the touch.
It's the same band.
It's got to be Hearts on Fire or Burning Heart. That's it.
Same band. They're kind of the same song.
It's not the same band.
Everyone that did the music for Rocky IV did the music for Transformers the movie.
There were other bands that did music for Rocky IV.
It's all the same band.
It's not
it's all the same hair metal band.
It's the same. Yeah, they're all the same band, but they're not actually the same people. I get what you're saying.
Whatever.
So anyway, but yeah. So I think I think
Renegades goes on a tear, ends up number two or number one.
Wow, that's a bold proposition. This is a better thing that we'll do because we can just sit there talking.
I know they're not
going to
be eighth.
No, they're definitely not going to be eighth because Dignitas is going to be eighth.
Yeah.
Or seventh. No, ninth. Dignitas is ninth.
Yeah.
Because Team Impulse is getting auto relegated.
Right.
And then Dignitas is going to have to play for their spot and probably not win. So here's what we're going to do. It's going to make it a little bit easier. So number one, we're going to say TSM.
Sure.
Despite what we don't want to, I'm going to give you my top four. And you're going to give me your top four.
Okay.
So my top four I'm going is TSM. Like, if it was like a little thing, it'd be like, bing, TSM. So TSM, number one. Number two, C9. Mm-hmm. Number three, Energy. Number four, Renegades. That's my top four.
Mine would be... I'm going to say number one, TSM. I'm going to say number two, Renegades.
Okay.
I'm going to say number three, C9. Number four, Energy.
We have the same top four.
Pretty much, yeah. Because I don't think Immortals' roster is that strong.
Well, before we're going to go to the next level. But since we've spoken about C9, what we think of them, we've already spoken about TSM. I think Energy is the next team we kind of have to touch on a little bit. My personal feelings are because their carry positions are incredibly strong. Because everyone keeps saying how Moon's not that good and Conquan was really mediocre at best on their teams. Their carries are the ones you need to think about.
I don't know why, like, everyone thinks that every team needs to have five superstars. No, you only need one Kobe Bryant.
That's an American mindset. Yeah. That's an American mindset. Which is that you need to have five of the best players in the world at the same time.
American sports are all individual superstars on every team. Every team has one superstar.
It's traditionally, yeah. I mean, when the Miami Heat a few years ago got, Bosch had Dwayne Wade and got LeBron James, that was like all the big three. And then that became sort of became the plan for all these teams. You have to have three superstars.
No.
And then you worry about the other two players. Well, they have three superstars. They have the Miami Heat blueprint fully in place. And the Miami Heat won a championship with that blueprint. Yeah. So, the Boston Celtics won a championship with that same blueprint of three superstars, and then you have a good supporting cast. Mm-hmm. Moon is not a superstar. Conquan, not a superstar. But you know what they are? Professional League of Legends players that aren't going to throw you games.
They're not going to, just choke.
Yeah. You know what their coaching staff is telling those guys? Listen, you're good players. You know what we need you to do? Not be fucking stupid. Don't think you're going to carry. Moon, let me just ease your troubled mind. Your job is not to carry. I do not want you to carry a game. Yeah. You know what your job is? To support the carries. You are the roaming support. You're the second support on this team. Because Conquan, you're supporting All Tech. Moon, you're supporting the rest of the fucking team.
Yeah.
That's your job. Your job is to make them look good.
I think people undervalue that first part of what the coaches say. You're good players. Like, that's...
Yeah.
Like, no one you don't all have to be Faker, right?
Yeah.
You guys that are good players, just be good players.
Yeah, they're
don't
saying,
be
you
shitty
know,
players.
They're not saying, Conquan, you need to be Yellow Star. Listen, if he became Yellow Star, oh my God, that would be a huge boon. It would be super unexpected. It's not what they're looking for out of him. They don't, all they need him to do is support All Tech and let All Tech do his job that he does well.
Hmm. And All Tech's good.
That's what I'm saying. They're carry. They're three. I mean, Impact is probably the best top laner in North America.
Top three.
In America?
At least top three.
Who would be better than him?
Hooney? Maybe?
We'll get to that.
Okay.
We'll get to that.
Maybe.
Yeah. I mean, I see Impact as the best top laner in America, and a lot of people agree with me on that.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen a lot of things. There's a strong argument to be made for him saying he's the best top laner in America. Gank by Mom is probably a top three or four mid laner in America right now. Yeah. With not even playing a game in North America, the only people you could even attempt to put ahead of him would be like Bjergsen and... you could put Bjergsen ahead of him.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah. And even then, I mean, that's maybe just a nose, not even a head.
I put Bjergsen ahead of him because he's familiar with this style of play
now.
Yeah.
That's true.
You know, it will take a hot minute for Gank by Mom. I mean, listen, League of Legends is League of Legends. Whether, meta, cultural differences aside from that, it's still, the point of the game is still the same. He knows he's got to kill, win his lane, blah, blah, blah. And it's going to be his responsibility.
Yada, yada, yada. Kill the Nexus.
Yeah. I mentioned the Bith. but yeah, so their carries are super strong, and that's why I put this team. They have to be a top four team.
Yeah.
The only way that they don't become a top four team is if Impact, Gank by Mom, or All Tech fucking play shitty.
Yeah, or they don't take the other team seriously. You know,
yeah, and I don't think that's going to happen. I don't, because here's the thing. Gank by Mom, super incredible, talented mid laner. But I don't think he's at that echelon where he's like, I'm better than all of these people. Right. You know, I think he's...
Regular-sized head.
I think he's got a good head on his shoulders where he understands why he was brought here and why he got paid a lot of money, and it's to fucking perform. Yeah. And I think he understands that, and he's not going to take it lightly. I think he wants to win.
And there's support.
And I think because when he was on Jyn Air, they were super mediocre as a team, and they, you know, they lost games that they shouldn't have. I think he's out to prove that he is as good as people said he is.
Yeah. And their support staff is good, too. Their support staff.
Yeah.
Analysts look good. Coaching looks
good. Yeah, this team, they seem to have done all the right things. Yeah. So, that's my top four. That's your top four. We seem to be on the same page with the teams, not the positions, but I digress.
Yeah.
Now, we're also on par with the bottom two. Yeah. So that leaves spots 5, 6, and 7. Yeah.
Which is fifth, Immortals, fifth place. Echo Fox, and who are we forgetting?
Immortals, Echo Fox, and Liquid.
Liquid.
And CLG.
CLG. Oh, yeah. It's kind of easy to forget about CLG.
Yeah. So I think... Oh, no, excuse me. We're 5, 6, 7...
8, 9, 10, 11.
8. Because we've done 9 and 10.
Yeah.
We've done 9 and 10, yeah. So 5, 6, this 7 is hard. Are the teams that we... Right? We suck at numbers. So number five, I think you'll agree with me. I like to think you'll agree with me. My fifth place team, I think, is Immortals.
I kind of think Echo Fox.
Really?
Kind of. I mean, those two teams...
My issue with Echo Fox, and I look at their team, and I see, okay, Froggen in mid... Sure, he's on the downside of his career. He was here. Yeah. Now he's on the other side of the hill, where he's going to start heading downward. I think coming to America, like Eddie Murphy, and Arsenio Hall, I think coming to America, I think it will add a little bit of life to his career, and I think it'll put him sort of make him do one of these.
Yeah, whoop, I think where he'll have kind a little of upswing. Poised here. For a comeback, you know.
Yeah. I think Keith, I think this is his opportunity to not just be the guy who's there to push another ADC to be better.
He's that guy that, wants to be Piglet.
Yeah. You know, his job isn't to make Piglet better, it's to actually carry. Yeah. So I don't know a lot about Baby. I've heard good things about him.
Yeah, Baby's good. Not a native support, though, right?
I'm not 100% sure. Like I said, I don't know a lot about Baby. I don't pretend. They were on C9. He was on C9 Tempest.
Yeah. Oh, I'm thinking of somebody else.
I think you're thinking of someone else.
Okay.
I was going to say, he was on C9 Tempest.
But C9 Tempest was a really good challenger team. They just kept fucking up everything else. Like, games. They would just not go to tournaments.
They had bad...
they wouldn't update their clients, you know.
Yeah, they had bad things going on within the team. On top of that, they also have Hard, who is C9 Tempest jungler, and he's really good.
Yeah.
I think Hard is very underrated. And I think this is going to be his opportunity to kind of show that.
He was almost on Renegades.
He was on C9 Tempest as well. Yeah. And then KFO is the unknown in top lane. He was a Korean solo queuer. Apparently, he's really good, but, you know, those solo queue heroes usually come over... And it takes them a little bit to sort of iron out their problems.
Right. Sometimes you wind up with a Febeven or a Huni or a Rainover. Other times you
Yeah, but Huni and Rainover were also Huni and Rainover were also subs or trying out for like SKT and Najin and shit. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they were known enough within the Korean region of being solid players. KFO, nobody knows shit about him. Just that he was a solo queue player. That's it. So, you know, we'll see. I don't see them as fifth. The only reason I put Immortals as fifth is because the entire team from top to bottom has the experience. They're not bad players, sure. They're a team full of cast-offs.
Cast-offs are people that are just going to North America.
Yeah, they're a team comprised entirely of the guys other teams didn't want to keep and replace with better players.
I think they wanted to keep Hooney and Rainover.
Okay, except for Hooney and Rainover.
Yeah, because they just didn't want to pay him that much.
Hooney and Rainover were clearly the centerpieces of that team, yeah. And then they just were like, we need a mid laner. No one wants Poebelter. We want Poebelter. We need an AD carry. No one wants Turtle. We want Turtle. Yeah. We need a support. No one wants Adrian. We want Adrian. So, you know,
you're playing Monopoly, you're that guy that's just buying up all the pieces nobody actually wants.
Yeah, you know, you don't have any actual monopolies.
You got Marvin Gardens and
you got Illinois. Kentucky Way. You've got Marvin Gardens and you fucking bought Baltic. You don't have Mediterranean.
And the guy that does have Mediterranean, like, really wants Baltic, but...
But you're too stupid to trade it to him. Because, I'm not going to give you Baltic. I land on Baltic 6 times a game. I'm not giving you shit. Fuck you. You're going to put 12 hotels on it. It's going to cost me $1 billion to go on Baltic. Fuck you. So that's Immortals. They're, they're that guy who owns Baltic. Fuck him. I just think that their experience is going to keep them relevant.
They are very experienced.
Yeah, I think that their experience is going to keep them relevant. But here's the rub. Hooney and Rainover, the ultimate free agents. Everybody wanted a piece, or so it was perceived. They weren't the highest bidders, apparently, Immortals, but they gave the best deal, it seems.
Which is just a testament to what we talked about last episode, that it's not all about the Benjamins.
No.
It's about the full package.
Exactly. It's about creating long-lasting success for yourself and your brand.
Esports works just like real life. Who would have thought?
Oh, my God. Get out of here. You get right out of town. When you treat it like a real business and a real sport, it's amazing how that can work.
Who would have thought? But we digress.
But here's the thing. Like I said, here's the rub. Hooney and Rainover sought after free agents. Played with Fnatic last season. Mm-hmm. Now... Hooney had a great split, couple of splits. Rainover had a great couple of splits. Mm-hmm. Making plays, getting popular, getting those Korean biddies, whatever it is.
Are they biddies in Korea?
Well, girls?
Yeah.
Biddies, man. Take old biddies. Biddies.
No.
So, here's the thing. Hooney and Rainover were... two parts of the five-part puzzle. And when you look at the other three parts, it was Forbiven, Yellowstar, and Reckless.
Yeah.
You had amazing, not actually, you had amazing players everywhere else. So it was very hard to say, we are going to focus on Hooney today because we're not going to get beaten by Hooney. Because you'd get beaten by Forbiven and Reckless.
Right.
It's going to be interesting to see how they perform with lesser carries and lesser members of their team at the other spots.
Yeah, there's not as strong a safety net on Immortals as there was on Fnatic.
Like, because if Hooney doesn't carry...
And it didn't work out for him, you still had two opportunities, two
more threats. If Hooney doesn't carry, you're looking at Poebelter, and Poebelter is not Forbiven.
Yeah, he's not.
You look at Wild Turtle, and he is not Reckless.
Well, he is Reckless.
Well, he's Reckless, but he's not Reckless. And you look at Adrian, and he's not Yellowstar. And these aren't insults on these guys. This isn't us knocking them, but they're not those players. So you're taking them out of a situation where they had a hugely protective safety net, and you're putting them on a tightrope with no net.
Yeah.
So we'll see how they respond. Listen, they may do great. This team may be a top three team for all we know. I don't see it. I don't see it at least in this split. They may get better.
They could also do great and make it to Worlds and then choke at Worlds.
Yeah, very well possible.
Like Hooney's Worlds performance was just subpar.
Because Korean teams and international teams.
Fucking better. I mean.
Well, they expected things. Yeah.
So.
You said Echo Fox.
Yeah.
Like I said, we spoke about Echo Fox.
I think there's just fewer wild cards on Echo Fox.
I think their whole team is a wild card.
Their whole team's pretty safe players overall. I don't know. I think...
You don't know anything about their top laner or their support.
So?
So what you're saying is their safe players are Froggen, Keith, and Hard. You don't know anything about Hard either.
No. I think so, I just got a feeling. Basically gonna, I got a feeling down on my...
The only prescription is more cowbell.
Giblets.
So, okay, so like I said, I think Immortals 5. You think Echo Fox 5.
Yeah. I mean, but honestly, that could go either way. I mean, I'm not even 100% on Echo Fox, really.
Yeah, I mean, they're. I think they're gonna be a surprising team, but I'm not sure how surprising. Yeah. After that, there's
CLG and Liquid.
Yeah, there's CLG and there's Liquid.
We might be underrating Liquid a little bit.
We don't know who their top laner is. It's probably Lurlo.
They have 10 fucking team members,
which they haven't announced. Yeah. Their full team yet.
Which is
they did. It's their fucking it's like their challenger team, whatever it was.
Oh yeah, Liquid Academy.
Yeah, it's Liquid Academy.
Which I mean, I guess that's a big reveal.
Ooh, shocker! That's what we expected.
I don't know. It's just fucking Liquid, man.
I don't know. Losing Quas is a huge blow. Yeah. I don't know much about Lurlo. I've heard he's pretty good. He's a solid player.
They lost a special, but, too, right? They have a different support.
They have Smoothie as their support. Smoothie's good. I think Smoothie's a good player.
You know, it's
I don't
it's
think really he's worse than a special.
To, Piglet and Phoenix, right?
And Dominate. Dominate's the shot caller now.
Yeah, that's whatever. He's fine. You know, as far as like carries go, it's going to be
I think their team is
every game.
I think their team can be better. I just... And there's nothing about them that really impresses me right now.
And I think having 10 team members is gonna
in a not multi game split
might be a bit much. I think it's gonna put much pressure on the players.
I don't know. I don't like the plan. I understand it, but they're a split too early doing it.
Unless they've got every week planned out a week ahead of time, to where this roster's playing this week. You guys need to practice and get your game plan ready next week.
Their thought process is they can have interchangeable parts because they'll constantly be playing and scrimming.
Yeah.
With each other.
I don't.
So there'll never be any time for being stagnant.
I think it's just going to be a whole lot of mediocre players.
It's like the old adage in sports. If you have a team with two quarterbacks has no quarterbacks.
Yeah, I think. If they start swapping players real early on, it's not going to work out, and then they're going to go back to their old standard roster.
Mm-hmm. I think ultimately that's what a lot of these teams are going to end up doing. The ones that have these great plans that run 6 and 7 man rosters.
Maybe next split, maybe in summer when that's a little more conducive.
And I think it's going to take a full split for these teams to sort of adapt to that.
Yeah, definitely. Could take a full season.
My opinion, you have Impulse 10. Mm-hmm. You have Dignitas 9. I have CLG 8.
CLG probably 8.
I have CLG at 8 having to play a relegation match. Maybe not losing their relegation match, but I look at their team, and they replaced two carries who were Doublelift and Pobelter with what I feel are lesser players. Now, I don't know a lot about Stixy, and nobody does, because he hasn't played on the professional scene.
And who he could be better than Pobelter.
Could be better than Pobelter. What I've seen so far of him, he's not.
There's just not a lot of experience there. And also, I don't care what the pros are saying about CLG's environment. It's not good. It can't be good.
I'm also tired of... And listen, I don't have anything against X-Smithy, but I'm tired of people trying to sell me on that this guy is a superstar.
Yeah.
He's a good jungler.
He's fine, yeah.
He's a very nice jungler. I don't think he's going to equal more wins for your team. I don't think he's going to lose you any games, but I don't think he's going to win you any games.
When the heads come and they ask us to show us what we got, we're not looking to X-Smithy for Get Swifty.
Right? No.
It's just he's fine.
You're a very nice player. If you can't find a better jungler, I mean, X-Smithy's good.
I don't know.
I just don't – I look at this team and I see Darshan in top. I see Darshan on top. Okay, he's a good top laner.
I kind of see...
Former Zion Spartan. He can do some damage.
I see Dignitas in their heyday is what I see in this, where they're just
a very average team that won't go away.
Good, not great.
Yeah. They're the new Dingleberry.
You're the new Dingleberry. I kind of feel bad for Darshan and Afro, because they're good.
Yeah.
I don't think they're good enough to carry three other people.
I mean, listen, we might end up being wrong. CLG may catch lightning in a bottle with Stixxay, who he might turn out to be what everyone hopes he's going to be. And, you know, Xsmithie is a nice player. That's it. Yeah. I just don't. Yeah, I think they're finishing eighth. I feel very comfortable placing them in eighth and saying, prove me wrong.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
You're not going to, but prove me wrong. I think
that's fair.
So then that, for me, puts 7 Liquid, mm-hmm. 6 was
Echo Fox, for you.
Echo Fox, and 5 was Immortals.
I did 5 Echo Fox, 6 Immortals, mm-hmm. 7 Liquid, 8 CLG.
Yeah, so you're same with me, Susan. So, I mean, we generally had the same...
Slightly different orders.
Slightly different order, but generally the same thoughts on these teams. I mean, as a region, I think North America is very strong right now because of all the imports they brought
because
in.
Because North America is the new Europe.
Exactly. We're the new European Korea. I can say this. The challenger scene is going to be very interesting.
Yeah, it's going to get weird next season, too.
Because there are some teams that are looking
couple of venture cap, or there's a venture capitalism capitalist venture capital team.
You mean who?
It's the one that it was just bought. Why you gotta put me on the spot like that?
I don't know.
I don't pay attention to the challenger scene. I don't have a computer in front of me to look it up.
I will look up.
You're going to make me edit this episode. Like, actually edit.
Nope. No way, man. You're going to deal with it, and that's just what's going to happen. Wow, the Challenger Series is no, like... It's 2014 Challenger Series. I wish I knew who you were talking about.
Me too.
I wish you had... I'm sorry. teams. Here we go. Here we go. America. Bitch. This fucking website sucks. In the end, TDK, I believe, is going to get out of the Challenger scene.
Yeah, they've got a shiny first new place roster. Team.
With Seraph and Ninja.
Not really shiny, and, I knew, but...
Seraph, Ninja, OHQ, who they got, I think is going to be ridiculous. And then this is the other two players.
Yeah, TDK got a really bad rap. Last split.
Well, TDK didn't play with their team.
Exactly. Bad rat.
Yeah. Shitty deal. No. You know, when you don't play with your team at all, it's very difficult to expect them to, you know, like, perform.
Yeah. And then when you put them in and they don't perform, no one's surprised.
No.
Yeah. So
it's just...
There might be some challenger games actually worth watching.
The challenger scene could definitely be.
I wish they had better casters, but you know we can shit in one hand and wish in the other, and see which one fills up first.
I don't even know what that means.
So, do you really need me to break this down for you? It's like a grandma saying, if you poop in one hand, it's actually going to fill up, but if you try wishing into a hand, nothing's going to happen.
Okay.
Right. Because wishes aren't anything.
So there's that. There's the. I thought you were talking about that one team that used to be Incredible Miracle, and they're now Longju, but that's a Korean team. But I tell you, that team. Just on a side note, Flame, Chaser, Coco, Fury, and Pure. That's not a bad team. That's a scary team.
And Ku's got a new name sponsor.
Yeah,
Rocks.
And they wear purple.
I love Ku. I love their uniforms. That's good. But all that aside. Well,
all that aside. So that's your NA. Yeah, that's your NA scene.
With that, let's talk a little bit about fantasy.
Well, that brings us to fantasy.
Little fantasy. You and me.
Otherwise known as hooks in a bikini.
It's just a lot of
bikini bottom.
That's just a lot of stuff going on that I don't need in my head. Don't you put that bad juju on me, Ricky Bobby.
Don't you put that bad juju on me, Ricky Bobby. Mm-mm. So,
I think we almost founded this show on fantasy advice.
We really did. This show was built on fantasy advice and dick and fart jokes. Yeah.
It's a solid mostly foundation.
Fantasy advice. Solid foundation. The solid foundation of any long lasting successful show is on fantasy sports advice and dick and fart jokes.
That's how DraftKings got started.
Oh, and then got then ended. And ended. Even you see, even Vulcan, they're not doing pay for fantasy anymore.
I believe it.
You're going to be able to bet gold and stuff, but no longer that sweet, sweet payola.
Oh, bum.
Oh, well. Sorry. So, right off the bat, you have any sleepers?
Because God, I have a couple. No. I'm so bad when it comes to picking. Because I always,
this sounds
I
like a conversation
that
we've had
I want to pick the players that I'm a fan of. But you can't do that. That's a
trap.
You can't
be a fan in fantasy
sports. You have to
like
basically just block out the names when you're looking at your spreadsheets, and just look at the straight numbers.
So I have a couple of sleepers.
Okay, good. Tell
for
them.
NA
tell
EU.
Them to me so I can steal them.
I will tell you them. Okay, they're not going to sound like sleepers because you're going to hear these names and go, "Oh, duh." But I will present you with why they're a sleeper. Sleeper number one is Gank by Mom.
Not a sleeper.
Not a sleeper pick in the traditional sense, but when you're gonna, I would consider picking him as my first pick, not number one overall, but in the first round. I would pick him in
Isn't
the first round.
Isn't the whole point of sleepers is to pick them up later in the round?
No. The idea of a sleeper is someone who you don't expect, you expect big things out of when other people don't.
Yeah, so you can get it later on.
Well, you hope to get it later, but what I'm saying is I feel like Gank by Mom is going to have there's going to be big things.
Okay, gotcha.
The thing about the fantasy LCS is that your teams, there's not enough teams to have a true sleeper. And because you don't really, the rosters aren't that deep, there's not everyone's a starter, you're picking from starters. Yeah. It's not like you're like, oh, there's this guy buried on this other team's bench who I tell you in week seven, he's going to play and he's going to be great. That doesn't work like that. You have to sort of adjust how you define the word and how you work with it. I think people are going to try to get Gank by Mom late, and I would say jump on him early because I think his number is going to be really good.
Yeah.
I think you will be rewarded with strong play.
I think you could probably wait till second or third round, and there are other players that you could get early on that are going to be a lot more contested as well.
Yeah. I think I want to say that he's one of those players who you can build your team around in fantasy.
I think you get him as like your sub.
We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. I wouldn't sleep on him. I'd
wait till at least second or third round.
Second sleeper pick. Again, not a traditional sleeper pick. Freeze.
Not a sleeper.
Although last season didn't put up great numbers
Crappy
at all.
Team, though.
Yes. Yeah. He is going to rebound hard. I put him in the same thing that I said about Reckless going into the summer split when he came back to Fnatic.
Yeah.
I said he's out to prove himself. He's out to show that he's one of the best AD carries in the world, and you're going to be rewarded. Don't wait to pick him up. If you want him, use the pick early because you will be rewarded.
I say the same
thing about Freeze.
I think you could probably still wait to a second or third round to pick Freeze.
Here's
just
the thing.
Other people aren't going to pick him, right?
Yeah, I understand that, but here's the thing. If you pick him early, it will throw other people off, and then you can get someone else really good. The thing is, you could get these great players. I've always been from the school of if there's someone I want, I'm going to pick him because I expect big things out of him. I'm not going to wait and then lose him because it's happened to me in other fantasy situations. And I understand the concept of trying to get him late and build a team and get some good stuff. But because of the nature of fantasy LCS, because again, there's so few spots and you're not going to want to take anybody on Impulse. You're not going to want to take anybody on Dignitas. You're not going to want to take anybody on Echo, on Elements or on like Rocket. So you have like four teams that you're really digging.
That's true. That's a good point. Yeah. That's,
so I'm saying
is that
you really have to start to weigh these players a lot heavier. It's like, I want Freeze. Sure, I'm not saying make him the first pick, but top two rounds, if Freeze is there, grab him because
also,
he'll give you the numbers.
If you're late in the pick order,
yeah,
you might just
exactly.
Have to take it up.
Exactly. I'm saying is that I don't, you know, don't. don't think that because he had a bad split last season, I think he's in a much better place. Here's a more true sleeper pick. I think Hard.
That's probably an actual sleeper.
I like him a lot, yeah. And I think he's going to have a chance to shine, especially teams that Froggen is on, their junglers tend to do well because of Froggen's type of play. Right. Because the games tend to be long. Because most teams that Froggen is on are built around him.
Yeah.
And he is not an aggressive player. He's a very safe player. And, you know, Froggen teams tend to play long
games.
Sometimes
Froggen is worth it as a player just because of the amount of CS he gets.
Exactly. Right? He's one of those farm heavy characters.
Per CS really add up in a 45-minute game.
Exactly.
Although,
yeah.
You know, with the current meta, you should keep in mind that games are usually shorter.
You're sitting at an average of like a 32-minute game.
Yeah, it's like, you know, if you really want to do the math, I think Riot said that average games are 8% shorter than they were last season.
Yeah.
So,
that in mind, I think Hard is in a good place. I think he's on a team that he's going to be able to do some things with. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know about KFO, so I can't remark on how he's going to be in lane. But if he turns out to be, you know, Huni 2.0, I think you're going to be, you're going to definitely benefit if you own Hard. And my final North American sleeper, again, not a traditional sleeper pick, but I think given the circumstances and the situation he's in, and based on the fact that he was fantastic last season, I think it's only going to be better, and that's Rush. I think Rush is going to be one of those first junglers off the board.
Good.
I think he needs to be.
Yeah.
And I think if you need a jungler and you're in rounds 1 through 3, you grab Rush because the guy scores points. The guy gets kills.
Here's the thing, though. I wouldn't pick a jungler in the first 2 rounds.
No, I'm not saying to pick him in the first. Again, if you're in an 8-team league and you have the number 8 pick, you may be forced to pick Rush because otherwise you're going to be, you know, your back-to-back pick, you have to remember, if your last pick in the first round, you were the first pick. So you can easily go, you know, gank by mom Rush or Rush gank by mom. And that's a great 1-2 combo because of a huge amount of kills, I feel. The kill potential that you've just picked up is ridiculous.
See, I think you go AD carry mid lane if you got that 1-2. I agree with you.
But if you look at Rush's numbers, he kills like a mid laner.
Yeah, I don't know.
When he has his carry games, he's got 8+ kills.
When he has his carry games.
Even last season on a lesser team, I definitely think that he is worth it because he's one of those rare players that plays in a position that doesn't traditionally get a ton of kills, and he does. He racks up kills like an AD carry, like a mid laner.
Yeah.
And
I still don't.
I think because he's in C9, I think because their team is so strong and they have such good carries in other positions, I really think he's going to benefit. I think he's going to find himself just in a kill rich environment. I think he's going to find because teams are going to pick on balls because the new vogue for beating C9 is to pick on balls. And like I said, Rush is very good in the topside jungle. He does a lot of damage. You're going to see him just coming out and pouncing on people that dive on balls. He's going to get a lot of kills and a lot of assists on there. It's going to make balls very attractive, and it's going to make Rush very attractive.
Mm-hmm. What about What about teams, though? You got to pick a team for your team slot. And that's the one I always have trouble with the teams because I always just pick one and then they make no points.
Well, I was going to give you the other three, the European.
Let's do a North American team, and then we'll move.
Oh, you want to do a North? Want me to do a North American team?
Okay.
Slots, okay, that's fair. That
you
makes
have a
sense.
Support, you have a sub, and you have a team.
Sure. As for my North American teams, I will say, I like Energy because of their carry positions. Mm. I like Energy as that team. Because their carries are so strong, I feel like they're going to get a lot of early kills, a lot of early first bloods. They're very aggressive. I feel like they're going to be jumping
first
on.
First bloods don't matter for a team.
Yeah, they do.
The player gets bonus points for a first blood.
Is
the
it? Oh, that's right.
Teams
don't
get any points for kills. Teams is only objectives.
Yeah, I feel though the Korean influence on this team is Koreans tend to be very objective based.
I kind of think either C9 or TSM, maybe.
I think C9's a trap.
I always pick C9 as my team, and it always ends up biting me in the ass.
They're one of those teams that, you know, they're like they win the 5-4 game. And although I feel like they're gonna have a lot of kills, I'm not comfortable picking them as a team.
They don't take any objectives either. You know, once they start winning, they run down that lane and they end it.
I like energy. Well, you want that sub 30-minute win too. You have to think about that.
Yeah, for a team,
that sub 30-minute win is worth
a lot. You want a game that goes to 5 dragons and then take all the towers.
Well, or you want the sub 30-minute game.
That's only like 10 points, though. Like,
only 10 points when teams are only scoring 16 points. If you win in 28 minutes and you got 6 towers, you're talking a game, or you're like 20-point game.
Yeah, I don't know. I think with the teams,
the ideal situation is the 11 towers, 5 dragons, a baron.
Yeah.
You know, all that
other
stuff.
40-minute game.
Yeah, sure.
Which is why I look for the close game.
The happy medium is you want either, you know, 50+ minutes or 29- minutes. You don't want that in-between spot. You know, you want super long or fucking fast as hell. So that's your for your players, you don't want a long game. You want long games. Right. But for your team, you want a short. It's weird how it works. But I think energy, I think because of the Korean influence and that being very objective-based, I think they're going to be very good there.
I don't know. I think energy ends up playing a little sloppy Joe. And
we'll see.
It ends up not getting a lot of points.
We will see. On the European side, number one sleeper, Forgiven. I think this new situation, I think he feels comfortable in H2K. I think probably lights a fire under his ass. I think Forgiven comes back in a big way.
Yeah, that's not bad. I think a lot of people are going to overlook Forgiven too because of last split.
Well, because they burned by him last season. Yeah. Me specifically. Yeah. Number two, this is going to be a little interesting. I like Gamsu.
Maybe.
I like Gamsu because a lot, again, like Forgiven, very overlooked.
Yeah.
And I think he's, again, it's the situation that Hooney and Rainover came into, is that you have another virtually unknown, I mean, known but not thought highly of, coming into a situation where he doesn't have to be the best.
Yeah, that's not a
And
best
I think
point.
He will, I think he will succeed through it. And in the same breath, my other
I
one.
I think you have to be careful with that matchup, though, if you have Gamsu. Because if Gamsu gets outclassed, he's just getting raffle stomped, man. He's not making any.
But
points.
Gamsu was very good on Dignitas, and they're a bad team.
Yeah, but he never really got a lot of points. I had Gamsu.
I understand that, but he was on a shit team that he couldn't. That the team didn't score a lot of points. There just wasn't a lot of opportunity.
So
other than Core JJ making a couple of plays here and there, so I think Gamsu is going to be in a position where he's going to be asked to be Hooney Light. And I think he will get his points where they need when you need them. I think he's a good, solid flex player type thing. And in the same token, again, not a traditional sleeper pick, but I think Spirit because of how crazy aggressive as a jungler
he is.
Actual
sleeper.
I love that pick. I would risk a top. I would risk a third round pick on Spirit if you can get it. If he's there and you don't have your jungler yet, because Spirit, again, comes over, was a great jungler in both Korea and China. A great jungler. And he's coming to a region that there's not a lot of great junglers right now. I mean, you look at Europe, there's not a strong jungle presence. And he's on a team that has still Reckless and Forbiven on it.
Yeah.
I do think he's going, and he's a carry jungler. He's a rush type jungler.
And that's good, especially because Forbiven usually doesn't get a whole lot of kills.
But he doesn't die.
He never dies.
And you're going to have a guy whose survivability and ability to stay alive in fights is so ridiculous. The Spirit, his aggressiveness is going to just jump in. If you dive on Forbiven and attempt to get a kill, Forbiven's going to sneak his way out of that. And Spirit or Forbiven is going to get a kill and an assist.
That's not
so bad. I love that pick because where Rainover was a really great support jungler, Spirit is a much better carry jungler. So they're just really just kind of flip-flopped. their top and their jungler, where Gamsu is going to be supporty, and he's incredible kill participation, excellent goal per, you know, goal per minute, great CS, all that stuff is good in his favor, and it just shows that he's always around kills, and you're putting a huge carry jungler. So, I mean, you're going to see situations where Spirit has games where he's like 8-4-6, and Gamsu's going to have games where he's like 1-2 and like 14. Yeah.
No.
So you're going to get a lot of points out of players like that. So, and I really feel like if you're going to do Spirit, try and handcuff him with Gamsu, because I think that that's going to work well.
I know you're very big pro handcuffing.
I'm only with certain situations. The only reason, this is the reason I say this. Teams are going to pick on Gamsu. So Spirit is going to be hanging around top lane a lot more than they're going to be picking on the very, very safe, reckless, and the unkillable Fabivan.
Well, here's the thing. Unless they just write Gamsu off and then they try and, you know, then his Spirit just focuses on Fabivan and Reckless, right?
It's possible. I'm just saying, I think if you can get Gamsu in the sixth or seventh round, which you'll be able to, and you already have Spirit, again, I think it's a great flex player to have if you don't have...
I'm just not a strong believer in the handcuff philosophy.
It works in certain situations.
I don't
situations.
Think it ever works. I think it's fine when the team's winning, but it would still be fine.
Here's the thing. If you kind of want to, like a strong bottom lane, you sort of want to handcuff.
You know, you
together.
Say that every season, and it never works out.
I do. Well, you never had a strong bottom lane. If you would have had Reckless and Yellowstar in the same lane together,
yeah, but
that's a huge handcuff.
Not even fair, because Reckless and Yellowstar were two of the highest point generating players in the entire season.
If you have an opportunity to pick Double Lift and get Yellow Star, handcuff them together.
I don't know.
Don't think I want to get
Yellow Star. Two of the highest point generating people in the league.
The point that I'm making though is that you support AD carry, you want to handcuff, because if one's doing well, the other will.
Yeah, but if one's not doing well, the other one won't. Right? So,
but that's the risk with everything, though. That's the risk with everything.
You spread out your eggs a little bit so that you can have a support that does okay and then an ADC that does great, or vice
supports
versa.
Supports aren't going to score a lot of points. Unless your AD carry is scoring a lot of points.
You just used Yellowstar as an example. Again, he was like top five point generator.
Yeah, okay, but you're talking again about a guy who also played in a team that every player across the board were the six of the... were in the top ten were in the top six. Sure. Of points.
I don't think you need to handcuff. I think trying to handcuff players is just...
I'm not saying that you have to. I'm saying with certain things like this, again, in the situation where if you have Spirit and you can get Gamsu, it's good because they will work together.
Yeah, I don't know about that one.
That's why I'm saying I like handcuffing certain situations.
I don't. I disagree with that strategy.
You're a bad drafter too, though. So.
Yeah, but I almost won the league last split. And
following my advice!
You lost.
Because, well, I had also followed my advice and my players. Well, actually, my advice was I didn't even follow my advice because I said I didn't like Forgiven and I picked him. But that's because there was nobody left.
Yeah, so
I had a bad draft spot. I had a bad draft slot. As for my European team, I'm going to H2K.
H2K. Yeah.
H2K because I think a lot of teams aren't. H2K or... If you cannot get H2K, I also like... what the fuck? Where were they? I totally lost it. Because it's not Rocket, but it's that team that has like a fucking blue logo.
Giants?
No, it's not Giants. Is it Rocket?
Rocket's the
or
cat.
Am I just thinking of H2K? Or am I just thinking
H2K
of H2K?
H2K is literally the H. It's H. It's a 2. It's a cat.
No, I know. And maybe that's what I was thinking. Maybe it's just... yeah, I think it's just H2K. Okay. Oh, yeah, because H2K has Vander Yankos.
Yankos.
That's right. That's why I was thinking of Rocket, because they played for Rocket. Yeah, so they have Vander and Yankos, and that's why I like
H2K
that team. I think there's a lot of points there. Plus, Vander Yankos is Mr. First Blood, Mr. Dragon.
Well, that has nothing to do with the team.
Dragon,
I guess. First Blood doesn't.
I understand that. I'm just saying. I think helps their objective control.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like them. I like them a lot. So those are my sleepers.
Great.
As far, As far as staying away from players, I have three quick players that I would stay away from in a draft. I stay away from Sven Skarin. I know he is on a team of superstars. I just think he gets lost in it. I think it's overwhelming, and I think he doesn't end up really doing much.
He might be the middle of the road person.
You know, I think he's going to be one of those guys who puts up, you know, 15, 12 points here and there. Because I just don't think they, I'll be honest, I think if they're playing well, they don't need him.
Pretty much.
I mean, his job is really going to, his job is literally going to be keep pressure off of Hauser. Because I don't think Yellow Star and Double It for me, like, just stay the fuck out of our league. We got this. And Bjergsen's be like, I didn't want you. So that's, I feel like I would stay away from him. This one's going to hurt a little bit. I'd stay away from Hooney.
Maybe.
I'd stay away from Hooney until he proves something on this team, because they scare me a little bit because of their the deficiencies in their other cards.
Just to add on to that, I might stay away from Turtle as well. They're safer ADCs.
Yeah, I agree. They're safer. And honestly, my other one, and although we spoke highly of because of the players around him, I wouldn't jump on Froggen early.
Yeah.
If you're going to draft Froggen, draft him very late. If you could get him in the last three rounds, if he's there, fine. Do not pick Froggen because he's Froggen.
That's a trap, too.
That's such a trap pick. It's such an easy pick. You see him in the first three rounds, like, oh, fucking Froggen playing in NA. He's going to be great.
And you know Riot is going to inflate his fucking estimate, right?
Oh,
That's another piece of fantasy advice. Don't fucking look at Riot's estimate.
Don't look at Ryze Estes. Especially, and honestly, here's another trap pick that I would kind of stay away from. I just sort of thought of it now, especially in the same vein as Froggen. While I love him as a player and I love his team, Alex Ish is going to be very, very he's going to be great, but he's not going to be beneficial as a fantasy player.
He
will not benefit you with very big scores, because he's a very smart player. He's a very cerebral player. He's excellent. He will get kills, but he's not going to be a huge point scorer.
I think he's a good, I think he might just be a good, like, if you don't have another choice for a sub or a mid lane.
Or as a flex player.
You might be able to get away with Alex Ish.
He's not a bad player to have. I'm just saying, don't get trapped into seeing Alex Ish, North America, one of the best mid laners in the world all time. Yeah, dude, we're going to jump all over. I'm going to pick him in round 4 or round 5. No. Pick him in round 8 if he's there. Don't waste an early pick on him.
I agree, that's
a trap waiting to happen.
Great.
So, I mean, that's our fantasy show right there. So take that information, use it on your draft. As we had posted on Reddit earlier today, prior to recording, we are inviting our listeners, viewers, fans, if you guys want to join our league, shoot us a message on Reddit or an email or tweet at us. Let us know your in-game League of Legends name. Sorry, North American players only. We will invite you guys to the league. It's a first-come, first-served type basis.
We might not be able to get everybody, right?
Yeah, we are but two humble servants. We cannot have a league of 45 players if all of you want in. So it is first come, first serve. I apologize. Pan apologizes in advance if we can't get all of you in. But please, we will do a live draft. At least we'll do a show while we draft. I think it'll be a lot of fun.
We can get on a weekend. I might get drunk.
If we could do it on a Wednesday or later, because I work from home on those days, I might get drunk.
On Wednesdays gives me an ingestion.
Only on Wednesdays?
On Wednesdays.
That's just the strangest indigestion ever. In closing of this fantastic and fun-filled show, where so much information was presented to you, and you can, as you digest it in your bowels, in your loins, as you digest this information.
Who digests things in their loins?
I don't think loins are real things.
It's the tender part of the, here, right?
Lower back?
That would be your it's here.
No?
On a person, loin.
Those are your flanks?
No, your flank's the outside. Loin, I think, is the inside. I don't think loin's
a real thing. Regardless, as you digest all this information, we have another instance. We have another instance of league lore. And please stop. Yeah,
we've been seeing, especially with this Zhen new champion stuff going on, people
with the bullets and the exploding flowers.
Cool, right, I love a good tease.
And listen, is cinematic the cinematic that they showed was neat.
Great. What we don't need is super elaborate lore in 3 pages of fan fiction to go along with it.
I don't need 50 Shades of Gay when I'm reading about champions,
right? What we need is we need to take a page out of Twisted Metal's book and just...
Give me that Twisted Metal fucking lore.
One fucked up paragraph of why these people are fighting and then...
I'm Mr. Grimm. I'm the lame hipster ghost rider because my fucking motorcycle has a sidecar and my head's on fire. You're in the tournament, you know.
I'm Sweet Tooth. I'm a scary clown in the tournament.
Yeah, you're in too, you know.
Yeah.
I'm Spectre. If you've ever seen Vanishing Point, that's pretty much me.
So we're going to do this League of Legends. You know, like, I'm Annie. I burnt up my parents in a fire.
And I have a pet bear.
The end.
That's my fucking lore, you know. I'm a moo-moo. I may be a yordle, or maybe I'm not, but I'm a sad mummy.
I'm Poppy. I just like smashing people with a hammer.
And now I look good. You know, I'm Draven. I have a sweet mustache, and I throw fucking axes. Darius is my brother. There, lore. Boom.
I'm Darius. I once decapitated someone that I didn't mean to. Now I want them back.
I cut his fucking head off. Yeah, you know, listen, this is lore. You can go straight down, straight down the list. I'm Gangplank. I'm a pirate who used to eat oranges. Arr.
I'm Willem, and this is Nunu. He ate my siblings. Now I ride him like a pet.
Now I ride him like a pet. That's fucked up.
Well, it's Twisted Metal. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, so sorry. We're still on Twisted Metal logic. All right, we got one more each. I want to make a good one here. I'm Bard. Whoa, bong, bong, bong. There, lore.
Ting.
There.
I'm Scion. I'm a zombie with an axe.
I'm just a big zombie that runs into shit with an axe. Okay, yeah,
and
I love it.
Whenever you kill the Nexus, you get to grant a wish. You get a wish granted, and then your lore is over.
So we beat the game. The Twisted Metal, the Twisted Metal logic.
You get your wish.
And then Darktooth comes down, and he chases you around the map. Fuck you!
The end.
The end. Then the credits roll, and Rolling Stones' Paint It Black comes on.
That's it.
Which we can't play because of copyright. We'll just make the mouth it. Ding, 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 ding.
Keep going. We just want to say thank you guys for watching. That has been this week's Power Dive. The amazing instrumentalist a cappella group right now is Captain Hux. I am your co-host Panda Man, and we will see you on the Rift.
That last one was a sitar.
Bye bye.
See ya.